Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Kuf Hei. We continue to learn for the safety and success of the Chayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael. They should be safe. They should be able to bring back the Chatufim, Beheira, in good health. They should not have any injuries. Be'ezus Hashem, all those in need of Refuah Shleima should Be'ezus Hashem have a Refuah Shleima Beheira. All those in need of Nechama should have a Nechama from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there should be Shalom Al Kol Yisrael. Okay, we pick up about 8 lines from the top. Kuf Hei Omer Aleph, where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Chutz Mipachos Shaveh Pruta Bekeren Chule. We had said in the Mishnah that a Ganav has to go all the way to Madai. He has to go far away to return the actual gazela that he stole to the person that he stole it from. It's not adequate to go and give it to someone else and then go bring your Korban Asham. You can only bring your Korban Asham when he actually gets the Keren. But the Mishnah had said that if there was less than a Shava Pruta's worth of the Keren left, so then you didn't have this obligation. You still owed him the money, possibly, but you didn't have the obligation to go all the way to Madai, and you could go bring your Korban Asham and get your Kapara. Now, Rapapa is going to have two different versions of Rapapa to qualify this. So Amar Rapapa, the first version we have of Rapapa says as follows. Lo Shanu, this did in the Mishnah that said you don't have to go all the way to Madai to go return him less than a Shava Pruta's worth of the Keren, of the principal, is only Eloshein Gizelo Kayemes, if the object is no longer there. So you're just giving him the value of the object. So let's say you stole a chair, and you had sworn and denied that you stole it. Now you had Hirurei Tshuva, and you say, no, I really did steal it. So then, if the chair is still extant, you got to go and bring him the actual chair. You have to Heishiv Sagzela Shagazal. If the chair is gone, you sold it, you used it for firewood, whatever. So then you just pay him the value of the chair. So Rapap is telling us that this din in the Mishnah, that if it's less than a Shava Pruta that's still left in your possession of the Keren, that you don't have to go to Madai, that's only if the object that you stole is no longer there. She'ein gizela kayemis, avo gizela kayemis, but if the object that you stole is still there, then tzorich leilech achrov, chayshinon shemotiyakir. You have to go all the way to Madai and go bring it to the person because we are concerned that right now it's less than a Shava Pruta, but we are concerned, chayshinon, that maybe it's going to go up in value, and then you're retroactively, the Korban Asham that you brought will not have allowed to have been brought because you can't bring the Korban Asham if you haven't returned the Gzela. And while less than a Shava Pruta is considered that you have returned it, but here, since it's extant, it's still around, so we have to be concerned that, in fact, it's going to go up in value. As Rashi says, V'samot ala Pruta, it's going to be worth more than a Pruta. And therefore, retroactively, your carbon will not have been good. And therefore, the rabbi said, if the item itself is still there, so then you have to go and return it, even if it's less than a Shava Pruta. That's the first version of Rav Papa's qualification of our Mishnah. Ikad Yamri, others had almost pumfaker, the exact opposite understanding of Rav Papa. And according to this Ikad Yamri, Rav Papa said that it makes no difference, lo shna, whether the gzeil is kayemes, the lo shna she'en gzeil kayemes. It makes no difference if it's less than the shava pruta. Whether it's still present or not present, we aren't concerned that it will go up in value. Right now, it's less than a Shava Pruta. The guy is allowed to go and bring his Korban Asham, and therefore, Ein Ot Sarich Le'elech Akrov, you don't have to run to all the way to Madai to give him back, even if it's extant, even if that piece of the Gzela is still there, and it's less than a Shava Pruta, you are allowed to go bring your Korban Asham, and L'shema Tiyakir Lo Chashinu. We're not concerned that maybe it will go up in price. Now, there's two ways to understand this, that we're not concerned that maybe it will go up in price. Number one is, we are not concerned that it might go up in price, but if it did go up in price retroactively, the Korban Asham would be ruined. That's one way to understand it. The other way to understand it is that we're not concerned that L'shema Tiyakir. We don't worry about that. And even if it did ultimately go up in price, the bottom line is when he brought his Korban Asham, he had successfully returned all of it other than less than Shava Pruta. That's not considered not returning it. And the Korban Asham is good even retroactively. So there's two ways to understand the second version of Rav Papa and two versions of Rav Papa, how to explain our Mishnah. Now the Gemara tells us, Amar Rava, Rava says, if a person goes out shalosh agudos bishalosh prutos. If a person stole, let's say, 3 bundles of vegetables, he stole 3 bundles, each of them independently was worth a shava pruta. So he now goes and returns them. But the hudzlu, the amdu al shtayim, all 3 of them are now only worth 2 prutos. And im hechzir lo shtayim, when he returns 2 of them, he now has only in his hand 1 bundle, and that 1 bundle that's left in his hand is less than a shava pruta. So in this situation, what is the din in returning the other bundle? it's less than a Shava Pruta, so one might have argued, well, he doesn't have to go all the way to Mada and return it, but Rava tells us, Chayiv lahachsilo acheris. He still has to go and return the other one before he goes and brings his Karbon Asham. And Rashi explains in Dibur HaMasko, Chayiv lahachsilo, this Aguda acheris, this third bundle, he has to return it to him. The Avapi dahashilo Shava Pruta, even though it's not worth the Shava Pruta, because he has to go all the way to Mada and return it to him, because it's extant. Kivin the Bishas Gizela Havi Shava Pruta, because at the time of the Gizela, it was worth a Shava Pruta. So Boy Lahadure Ulolicha Achrov, he has to go and return it to him, because it was worth a Shava Pruta. That's the opinion of Rava. Furthermore, we can see this in the following Mishnah, Vetana Tuna. We learned this in our Mishnah that we learned on Daf Tzadivav. It said over there, Gazal Chometz, if a person stole Chometz before Pesach, and then the overall of a Pesach, and then Pesach came, the Chometz was still in the possession of the Ganav, and therefore it's Chometz Shavalach of Pesach, Midi Rabbanon is also Behanoah, and therefore this Chometz now is worth zero. But the person can technically go and return it, and Biyotzi, Bidei Adam, he can go back and give it to the person that he stole the chametz from after Pesach, Omelo, Harei Shechol Fenecha, here's your chametz. Okay, it's worth zero, but I'm returning to you that which I stole. Now, Taimor, the Isei Beinei, the reasoning why he can successfully do that on a Bidei Adam type of a basis is because he is Heshev Esagzelo Asher Gaza. He is returning him what he stole, even though right now it is worthless. When he stole it, it was worth $100. Now it's worth zero. But nevertheless, he's able to say, hey, this is yours. I'm giving it back to you. And we said this is Hezek She'enu Nikar, and Midin B'nei Adam, you can fulfill your obligation returning it. However, that's if the chometz is there. So it's valueless chometz, but it's real chometz that he had stolen. So biologically, physically, that is the chometz that he stole. So even though it has zero a financial value, that is what he stole. However, if the chometz that he stole is no longer physically there, he cannot say, he can't say, even though it's worth nothing, he can say, listen, I don't have to return you anything because it's worth nothing. No. Kivan de Mekora Mamona, who boy Shalume, since he had originally stole $100 worth of chametz, so he owes him $100. So too, in our case, Rava says this Mishnah supports his Shita. Hochanami, in our case as well. Avgav the Hashalo Shav Pruta, even though this third bundle is now only worth 2/3 of a Pruta, it's not worth the whole Pruta anymore. Nevertheless, Kivan de Mekora, Havi Shav Pruta, boy Shalume, since it originally was worth the Pruta, so he has to go and return it if it's extant, and repay back the full pruta. Just like with the chametz. It can give back the chametz as it is. So he doesn't have to give him back a pruta in the case of the bundle. He just has to give him back that bundle. It's only worth 2/3 of a pruta right now. But if it's not there, he has to give him back the full value of a shava pruta that he had stolen. Similarly, boy Rava, Rava asks the following shayla, what happens if a person gozal shtei agudos bepruta? A person stole two bundles of vegetables. Each one was worth a half a pruta. Together, he stole a full pruta. Now, the hechsilo achas mien, he returns one of them. So he has returned half of a pruta, and he has behind him still a half of a pruta. Nothing has changed in the value. So this is a straightforward case. He had stolen a shava pruta, which was a half a pruta in this bundle, half a pruta in that bundle. And now he returns one of the two bundles, so he returned half a pruta. So Rava asks, what is the halacha via mahu? Mi amrin, and do we say, hashto leko gzela? Do we say that right now, since he only has a half of a pruta in his possession still, so that is not considered that he still has the gzela in his possession, and therefore he could bring his korban asham? Or, Odilmo, do we say no? Halo hoder gizela to have a gabe. No, he still has gizela that is present, even though it's less than a shava pruta, but he didn't do the mitzvah of heshev sagzela shagazal, and therefore can yet bring his carbon asham. So that's Rava's question. He asked the question, hoder pashta, and he answered it. And he said, gizela in kan, there is no more of the gizela here because it's less than a shava pruta, so it's not considered that the gizela is still there. However, Hashava ain't come, but he hasn't also returned it. Now, that seems to be a contradiction. Where it says, Igzela ain't come, if there is no Gzela here, in other words, if you're telling me that he returned it, so then Hashava yeshkan, then he returned it. How can it be that there is no Gzela here, but there is no return? So Gemara says, no, this is what Rava meant. Rav is telling us that af al pi shegzeil in kain, even though technically there's less than a shava pruta, so there's no more gzeila considered over here. Nevertheless, he didn't do the mitzvah of hashava shegzeila. Mitzvah hashava ain kain because he still has some of the gzeila there. So he technically did not return the gzeila. So therefore, there is no hashava, even though technically there is still no gzeila present because it's less than a shava pruta. Another statement from Rav, Rav tells us, Hari Amru, Nazir Shegilach Vishier Shtei Soros. We know that a Nazir, after his Nazir's period of time, has to go and bring certain kabanos, and he has to do what's called the taglachas. He has to go and shave off the hairs of his head. Now, a Nazir that had shaved off the hairs of his head, but left two hairs there. In other words, that's not considered a valid shaving of his head. Everybody agrees to that. So, Lo Asa, the Lo Klum. So the Mishnah in Negoyim tells us that in this situation, there is no taglachas that has been accomplished. Lo asa v'lo klum. Now, that's a straightforward statement. Rava is quoting the Mishnah. There is no doubt about that. Now, boy, Rava's question is, what happens if now with the two hairs that he has left, gilach achas, he does a shaving of one of them, but then the other hair fell off, the noshu achas, it fell off on its own, and he didn't go and remove the hair. So is this considered a taglachas or not? Mahu. Did he accomplish the taglachas and therefore can bring his korbanos? Or no, he hasn't accomplished the taglachas and therefore cannot yet bring his korbanos. So, Amalei Rav Acha Midifti LeRavina. So, when Rav Acha Midifti heard this question of Rava, so he said to Ravina, "Isn't it partial? Is Rava asking over here? Nazir Shegilach Achas Achas Komi Boile LeRava? Is Rava asking if you cut one hair at a time, is that not considered a good taglachas? So here he cut off all of his hairs. There's two left. He cut off one. No, now all of his hairs have been cut because leaving one hair behind is considered a valid taglachas." You should cut off all the hairs, but you could accomplish the taglachas. So Rav Acha Midifti is unclear. What is Rav's question over here? And he says to Ravina, as Rashi points out, Kol asaros achas achas, if a person were to cut off each hair alone, koma boile, bismiya, is Rav really asking that question? Koma hovada giluach heavy. This is certainly a valid giluach. I don't understand Rav's question. Kivan shebishah shebole galayach, when he's doing his taglachas, ha'ishir ha'vibay shir giluach v'gilach achas. So he left behind a shir of taglachas, but he still had then to cut off that one of those two hairs, and he did it. V'afabi dinar shishniyah giluachu. So even though the other one fell off on its own, he accomplished the taglachas. What is Rava's question? So Ravina says, Amalei, Ravina says, Ravacha Midifti, says, no, Rava's question is as follows. Lo tzricha, Rava's asking, kigon shenoshar achas mehen, first, and only afterwards, v'gilach achas. So he'd left two hairs, and as he's about to go and do the final taglachas of these two hairs, one of them fell out. So now, he cuts off the other one, is that considered a good taglachas or not? Do we say, what are the two sides of the coin? Mi aminon hashtomies holek oshir. Do we say, listen, the guy doesn't have two hairs left, so therefore he did have a taglachas? Or do we say, no, well, dilma holav giluachu. There were two hairs there, so he needed to do a taglachas, and one of them fell out, so therefore he didn't do the taglachas. And therefore, the meikara hashir shtei saros, when he left two hairs originally, he didn't do a taglachas, and now that one came out on its own, v'hashto ki gilach, all he did was cut off one of the hairs, lo havi shtei saros. He didn't do a taglachas of at least two hairs, and therefore it's not considered a taglachas, and he can't go bring his korbanos. Now, that, Ravina says to Rav Acha Midifti, was the question of Rava. And Rava himself had answered this question in the following way. Hadar Pashta, Rava, this was Rava's question, now we understand it. Rava himself answered the question, similar to what we said before. He said, Seyer ein kan, giluach ein kan. There is no hair left anymore. However, he didn't accomplish the taglachas. And Mor says, doesn't make any sense. E Seyer ein kan, if there is no hair left, so then there is a taglachas, giluach yesh kan. What? The two don't go together. How can you tell me that there is no hair here, but there is no taglachas accomplished? So again, we have to revise and understand what Rava meant in the following way. Hachi karma, just like we said a minute ago. Ava pi shaseyar enkan, even though there is no longer any hair, he did not accomplish the mitzvah of taglachas. Mitzvah giluach enkan, because he didn't cut off the two hairs that were left. And therefore, there is no hair left, but it's not considered a valid taglachas. Another similar din tells us Rava, Vama Rava. Rava tells us. Now here we have to just know a basic din of how a earthenware utensil is capable of preventing tumah from going through a bottom room into a top room. If you have a skylight and you were to go and plug up that skylight, so then the tumah that's in the bottom room would not be able to get up into the top room and spread out and have tumas oil in the top room. So this din assumes that you have a valid kli cheres that can block up adequately the skylight between the bottom room and the top room. So Rava tells us, Hari Yamru, this is a Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah tells us, Rava quotes the Mishnah, Chavis shenikva usasamuha shmarim. If you have a earthenware barrel, a kli cheres, that has a hole in it. Now that hole is large enough that the tumah could pass through it, and therefore this kli cheres would not be able to go and block the tumah going from the bottom room into the top room through this skylight that it is blocking up, but it's not blocking it adequately. So if this chavis has a hole in it, it's going to let the tumah come through. But usasamuha shmarim, but you had some shmarim. Shmarim are the residue of the fruits that are there, and these shmarim go and pack in. They seal off this hole in a way that's considered a valid seal. So hitzilua, they do prevent the tumor from going from the bottom room into the top room. It is an adequate block because it's totally sealed off the area in a halachic way. So this chavis with a hole in it has been successfully sealed permanently with this shmarim, with this remnants of the fruits that were in there, and therefore it is a valid seal between the bottom room and the top room. Now, that's the fact. That's the statement that Rava quotes from the Mishnah in Kalim. Here's Rava's question. Boy, Rava, very similar to the two questions that we had previously. What happens if it was only half sealed? Ogav chetzya. If it was only half sealed, so then, mahu, what is the halacha in this situation? Rashi says the lashon of agaf means magufa, means it's sealed, it's covered up. Now, the sheer nekev over here is half full, so there is still a hole there. The hole itself is not of the size that the tumah can go through, but it is originally a full hole that was there. So Rashi explains the question in the following way, and let's read the Rashi agaf. So he says, there was a hole over here that would allow this kli to come tame. The tumah could enter this kli because it was a kli cheres that wasn't sealed. And what you did now was, this is a kli hamakabel tumah, Rashi says, and eino chotzeis b'pnei tumah, and it won't be able to go prevent the tumah from the bottom room going into the top room. It can't make an effective seal to protect the tumah from going through. The agaf b'tit chetzah, and he takes some mud, some tit, and he goes and fills in half of this kli, the hole in the kli. Mahu, what's the halacha? Do we say, again, the same question we had before, miyamrinon hashta miyolek shir nekev. Right now, it's only a half of a shir of the nekev, and therefore the tumah can't go through. The kli is not makabel tumah. Or do we say, oduma, halosasam shir stima? No, it required this entire hole to be filled up, because originally that hole would allow the tumah to get through. The kli could become tumah, and therefore, unless you seal it entirely, you still have the problem that the kli can be makabel tumah, and it can't be a block from tumah in the bottom room to tumah in the top room. So a very similar question. This is Rava's question, and we give the answer as follows. Amalei Rav Yemal Rav Ashi, he says, Lav Mishnah Seinu Hizu. Isn't this our Mishnah? That's not. This very Mishnah that Rava's quoting from Kalim tells us. And then keep on reading the Mishnah. That was the first part of the Mishnah. Pikaka bizmora. But if you didn't seal it with an adequate type of a sealant, but what you did was you put in a zamora. A zamora is a vine. Now, this vine doesn't fill in the hole perfectly, but it fills it in partially. So the Mishnah continues to tell us, ad shimoreach, unless you put clay, some sort of a seal, around the vine and really seal off the hole, it's not considered a valid seal. And therefore, it can be makabel tumah, and it can prevent the tumah going from the bottom room into the top room. So you need to seal it off fully. If you put in two vines, so it made the hole even smaller, but you're not going to be successfully sealing it off. You have to go and fill in the open spaces that are still there from the vine to the holes in the utensil that haven't been filled in by the vine, and go and fill it in. If you don't do that, it's makabel tumah still, and it can't prevent the tumah from the bottom room going into the top room. So what do you clearly see? Rav Yemer says to Rav Ashi, Tamo de Meirach, it's only able to seal it off because you went and filled it in. If you didn't go and fill it in, halo meirach, then lo, it would not be a valid seal. Now, amai, why not? V'tehevei ki agal chetzia. The hole has been filled in somewhat with the one vine or the two vines that you put in there, so it's less than the shear, and you see that even though it's less than the shear, it isn't considered to be filled in. So Rava's question can be answered from that Mishnah and Caleb, that unless you seal it fully, it's not considered filled in. It's not considered sealed. And even if you have only half of it there, it's not considered sealed. So Rava's question, if you filled in half of it with mud, you filled in half of it with a tit, that's not good. Learn it straight from that Mishnah. So Ravashi says back to Rav Yemer, no. Hachi Hashta, are the two cases comparable? The case of the vine, Hasam, I lo meirach, lo koi. If you don't fill it in, so then it's still a hole. There's nothing really there. It's just, the vine is just in the space over there, but it's not attached to it. That's certainly, therefore, not going to be anything. And therefore, you have to really seal it in with the clay. However, agav chetzah, when you sealed it with pitch or with tar or with something that is truly filling in that half, that's a permanent solution for half of it. So agav chetzah, the midi de koi koi. So maybe that is considered, Rava's question is not yet answered, maybe that is considered a valid half seal, and therefore you don't have the shear left, you only have a half open. And a half open is different in this case because half of it is truly sealed, as opposed to the Mishnah, the case of the vine, even though half the space is blocked, it's not called half sealed, and therefore it's as if it's not sealed at all. So therefore, you can't go and compare the two necessarily, Ravashi says, and therefore Rava's second question here is not resolved. Okay, another statement from Rava, Yama Rava, Ariyamru, the Chacham taught us in that Mishnah on Dav Tzadivav, Gozal Chometz Yovel of a Pesach, if a person stole Chometz before Pesach, and now it's gone in his possession on Pesach, and therefore it's worthless, midrabanan, it's also b'hanoah, so omelo, ha'reishul cholofanecha. Nevertheless, if it's extant, he's able to go and give it back to the person, and he's yosei b'dei adam. Now, again, Rava quotes the Mishnah, and now he asks this question. Boy, Rava asks him, we turn to Kuf Hei Omud Beis. Rava says, nishba alov mahu, if the person swore that he doesn't have it, he said, I don't have your chametz, but he really does. And now, he wants to do tshuva. So what does he say? Mi yaminan, do we say, kivan di'i mignav boi shalumile, if in fact had been stolen, so he would have to go and pay back to the person he stole the chametz from its value at the time of the gzeilus, was worth $100 before Pesach, so he has to pay him back $100 if he doesn't have it extant anymore. So what do you see? That if he had this chametz in his possession, even though it's halachically shove nothing, it's also bahanah, but he could return it. So it has the equivalent value of $100, even though it actually has no value. So it is called mamona. So when he denies having this chametz, even though it is worthless, so one could argue he didn't make a shvua for something substantive because it's worth zero. Nevertheless, since if he had it, he could fulfill his $100 obligation by just returning it, even though it's worth zero. So mamona kokofrele, and this is considered a false shvua, and therefore it is something that he would have to go and bring a carbon for. Odilmore, or maybe not. Maybe hashta mias homanach, because right now the chametz is in his possession, and he could go return it, but it's worth nothing. The afra bi'almahu, and therefore, when he swore that he doesn't have it, he's not swearing about anything worth anything, and therefore, the lo kofar le mamona, and it's not considered a swearing about something that's worth the shava pruta. So these are the two sides of the coin that Rav is asking over here. Is this considered mamonahu, even though it's valueless, because it has the equivalence of value, because if he returned it, he'll save himself $100. If this is gone, he has to pay him $100 out of his own pocket. So do we say it has the equivalence of value, even though it financially is worth zero, and therefore it is considered a shvua of something substantive, or do we say no? Bottom line is, it's worthless. So his shvua that he doesn't have it is a shvua about nothing. It's not worth anything, and therefore it's not considered a false shvua that he would have to go and bring a carbon for. Now, this was Rava's question, but Milsa di boy leila Rava, this question that Rava had, pshita leila Rava. Rava had no qualms about this. Rava said the answer is obvious. The Omar Rava said, if a person says shor gonafti, if Reuven says to Shimon, "Hey, you stole my ox," and Shimon says, "Who am I? Lo gonafti? What are you talking about? I didn't steal it." Reuven says, hey, that's my ox. It's in your possession. What's my ox doing in your possession if you didn't steal it? So what does Shimon respond? Shimon says, I didn't steal it. Shomrchinim ani olav. I'm a shomrchinim. I'm an unpaid watchman, and I'm watching your ox as a shomrchinim. Now, in this situation, if Shimon admits afterwards that he swore falsely, chayiv, he is chayiv to bring a korban osham, because even though he didn't fully deny, he didn't swear that I don't have it in my possession, but he swore that he's a shomer chinam. And this false shvua gave him a benefit. What's the benefit? Shari potter atzmo b'gnevo v'aveda. If the item were to be stolen from him or lost from him, he would be potter. So his false shvua here gave him the equivalent of money by not having to go and pay for it if it's stolen or lost. So he benefited from this false shvua. It's as if it was mamona kakafar lei, and therefore Rabbah says that even though he isn't denying that it belongs to Reuven, but his lie, his false shvua, benefited him, so therefore he has to go bring a korban osham. Similarly, if he had said, I'm not a shomer chinam, he says, shomer sachar ani olav, he swears that he's a shomer sachar. And then again, he has a hurei tshuva, and he says, I really am not a shomer sachar. So too over here, chayiv, he has to bring a korban osham. He swore falsely, he needs a kapara, he has to bring a korban osham. Why? What did he gain from swearing that he was a shomer sachar? He didn't deny that it belonged to Reuven. So shari potter atzmo mishvura umesa. He is going to exempt himself from onsin. Shomer sachar is chayiv for pshia, gneva, and aveda, but he's potter for onsin. So his false shvua gave him the benefit of he wouldn't have to pay for onsin. So therefore, it was mamona kakofrele. He did, in fact, exempt himself from having to pay something. And therefore, it's a false shmua. And patratzmo mishvuro mesa. And therefore, that is why he has to bring korban osham. It was mamona that he was kofar. Likewise, if he says, I was a shoel, I borrowed it from you. I didn't steal it from you, I borrowed it from you. Shoel in your love, so too over here, he gained something from his false shvua. He really stole it, and he swore falsely, and now he has a huri tshuva, and he says, I really did steal it from you, so he's going to be chayv and oshim. What did he gain by saying it's a shoel? Because now he'd be potter, shari potter atz when we made some achos melacha. The one thing a shoel doesn't have to pay for, if he borrows your cow and the animal dies while it's plowing normally, so then that's called mesa machmas melacha, and he's potter from that. So his false shua gave him some benefit, and therefore mamona kokofer le. What do you see? Rabbah tells us, even though the animal is still there, and he didn't admit to stealing it, nevertheless, kivan di imignav mamona kokofar, since in the case of the shomer chinam, if it had been stolen, he would have benefited from not having to pay for it, and in the case of the shawl, if it died, in the case of the shomer sachar, if it died by onsin, he would have not had to pay for it, so therefore, kivan di imigna mamona kokofar, so too hashtanami mamona kokofar. So the case that Rava had asked, he is benefiting from the fact that the chametz, if it is in his possession, he could go and return it. So if it's not there, nevertheless, mamona kokofar le. He is, in fact, benefiting from the fact that the chametz is in his possession. And therefore, hochanami, so to avia, afogad the afabiyamahu, even though it's worth zero. Kivan, the imigna, if it had been stolen from him, then he'd have to pay $100. Boy, shalumile, mamona ma'aya. He'd have to go give him $100. Therefore, hashtanami, mamona kokofale. So right now, when he's swearing falsely about this chametz, he denies that he has it in his possession. So it is about something substantive because it is mamon that would benefit him if it was around. So therefore, he is, in fact, making a shua about something substantive, even though it's worth zero as a Chomet Shavuot as a Pesach. So Rabbah says it's a simple answer to Rava's question. Furthermore, now here the Girsas, according to Masosa Shas, are a little bit incorrect. So it should be, instead of Yosef Rava, it should be Yosef Rabbah. The Kamala Shmaisa. So Rabbah said over this din that we were discussing, that if a thief swears that he is a Shomer Chinam, or a Shomer Sachar, or a Shoel, so then Mamona Kokafre, and he would have to go and bring a Korban Osham when he admits that he swore falsely. So, Ese Rav Amram, now it shouldn't again be to Rava, it's to Rabba. So, Rav Amram asks Rabba, but the Pasuk says, V'kichesh ba, when the person goes, Omotza Aveda, V'kichesh ba, V'nishbal Sheker, the person swears falsely, so it says, V'kichesh ba, that is prat limode bi'ikar. This excludes somebody who admits to the fact that the item isn't his, and he doesn't have to go and bring a carbon asham. Now, Kate said, what are we talking about? If Reuven says to Shimon, shori ganafti, hey, you stole my shor. V'hu omer, and Shimon says, lo ganafti, I didn't steal it. So Reuven says, how come it's in your possession? Mativa etzlecha. What's my shor doing in your possession? So what does Shimon answer? Ato mecharto li. You sold it to me. I didn't steal it from you. You sold it to me. Or he says, ato nesato li b'matono. Or he says, you gave it to me as a gift. Or he says, avicha mechor li. Your father sold it to me. Or he says, avicha nesam li b'matono. Or your father gave it to me as a gift. In other words, he wasn't denying that it once belonged to Reuven, but he's saying, I got it legally as opposed to stealing it. Or he says, achar porosi rots. No, yours is a male cow and I have a female cow, and your male cow ran after my female cow over here. That's how I got into my possession, but I didn't steal it from you. Or me'ela boitzel, or just wandered into my yard. I didn't have anything to do with it, it came over to me. Or tov b'derech mitzosif, or I found it lost on the road, and I brought it into my house to safeguard it. Or shomachinim ani alav, or you gave it to me to watch as a shomachinim. Or he swears that he gave it to him to watch as a shomachinim ani alav. Or he swears, shol ani alav, I borrowed it from you. And in all of these situations, if Reuven says, hey, what's my shor doing with you? And Shimon gives one of these answers, then nishba, and he swears falsely, and then subsequently he has a hurei tshuva behoda, and he admits that he swore falsely. In all of these cases, yoch yechayev. You might have thought that you're chayev. So Rav Amram says that's what it means. Talmud Lomar v'kicheshba. The pasuk says that if you denied it, prat limoda beikar. In all of these scenarios, he didn't say that it wasn't Reuven's. He said it was yours, but there's a valid reason why it's now by me. So he didn't fulfill v'ki cheshba, and therefore he would be pater from an asham. So how can you, Rabbah, say that he's chayev an asham? That's Rav Amram's question. Rabbah's very upset with Rav Amram. Amalei tadura. Now, tadura is an interesting word. Rashi tells us that tadura means ein lev. That's the Rashi that we have over here. Rashi elsewhere, you can see Rashi in Zvachim says it means shote bahul. It means a totally mixed up person. And Rashi elsewhere tells us it means otzel, a lazy person. The Shor Mitzvah Balacha brings down the Chidushei Rashba and says the tadura means drool. And the Aruch says it means like you're a drooling idiot. The opinion of the Torah's Chaim is brought down by Yeshua Mitzvah and Balacha is that Rabbah was so upset with Rav Amram because it was so partial and obvious, the Teretz, and he was upset that he didn't think it through. And since Yeshua Mitzvah and Balacha says that he was much greater than Rav Amram, so therefore he had a right to be upset with him like a Rebbe to a Talmud. Okay, in any event, he tells him, Tadura, you made a terrible mistake, Rav Amram. And he says, Kitan Yahi, that which you're reading about in this Braisa is the Karmalei Heloch. That's when he says, here it is. Oh, I didn't steal it from you. I'm a Shomachinim. You want it back? Take it back. Your father gave it to me. No, you say it's yours. Here it is. It's back to you. But in that situation, there's no Chiv over here of a Korban Oshem. However, Ki Kamino, when I said my din, that's the Kaima Ba'agam. He didn't give it back to him. It's out in the swamp, and it's not being returned to him. So therefore, he is kofer, and now he admits that he was, in fact, the ganav on it, so then he has to go and bring a carbon asham. As opposed to the brisa that you brought down, Rav Amram, that was a case where he says, here it is, I'm giving it right back to you. So he never was kofer, and that's why prat lemoda be'ikar. Okay, now, how do we go and reconcile all the things in this braisa to say that there was a havamina to say that he actually stole something? So in the case of Atom Mechartoli, when Shimon said to Reuven, you had sold it to me, my moda b'ikar ikar. How is there an admission over here that he had done something wrong? So the Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha, the Amalei, when Shimon said to Reuven, Lo Nasata Lecha Demei, Shkil Toruch Rezil. He says, yes, I bought it from you, but I never paid for it. And therefore, I agree it's yours. Take it back. So therefore, that's why there was no haudah over here, and that's why it is not the kicheshba in this price that Rav Amram brought down. Similarly, when he says, Shimon says to Reuven, Atunasatali or Avichanasanuli, you either gave it to me or your father gave it to me. Why over there, my moda ba'ikar ikar? How is he explaining that it really belongs to Reuven in that situation? Because the Amalei, the price is talking about that Shimon said to Reuven, you gave it to me, or your father gave it to me, al menas diavidna loch nayich dinafsha. You gave it to me, quid pro quo. You gave me this animal in the hopes that I would do a favor for you, or for your father. V'lo adi loch, and I didn't do the favor, so therefore I agree. Shakel tarach vazil. I never did the favor that you expected of me, so take it back. So therefore, there is no kicheshba in this situation. Likewise, when he says he found it on the road, toa baderach mitzasiv, so then, why didn't Reuven say it? Then you should have given it back to me. Why didn't he say it? What are you keeping it for? You should have given it back to me. So, Omer avu adishmuel, because the Omer shvua aveda mutzasi, because he says, I swear that I found this item. V'lo yisiyodeya shishalcha shachzir aloch. I didn't know it was yours. Now you're coming and tell me it's yours. I'll give it back to you. But in response, why didn't I return it earlier? Because I didn't know who to return it to. So therefore, in every one of these cases of the Braisa, there wasn't a full kicheshba, and therefore, they don't bring a carbon asher. Now the Gemara says, Tanya, we learned in the following Braisa, Amar Ben Azai said, Shalos Shavuos Hei. Now it doesn't mean that there are three swearings over here. It means that there are three situations where a person can make a full shvua about Reuven's animal that was lost. And Reuven says to this witness, hey, I want you to tell me what you know about this. And the person swears one of the three following shvuas falsely. In other words, he didn't tell him what he really knew. So the first case is, hikir ba velo bimotza. Rashi explains, in Diramasu ba velo bimotza, that Reuven said to this witness, hey, what do you know about my lost cow? And he says, ihavi masid le. If he had in fact testified what was really happening, he denied he knows anything about it. But what he should have said is, this is what I saw. So, I did see the animal in such and such a place, the Eniodea Mimotza, but I don't know who saw it. That's really what he had witnessed. But instead, he denied that he knew anything. So, what he would have been able to do in that situation, if he had testified properly, is Reuven would have gone to that area. He would have been able to go and say, okay, I know it's in that neighborhood, so I'll at least go try to find my animal. But the fact that you denied knowing anything about it, you caused me harm. Next case is Bimotsa Vilo Ba. That he says, I saw that so-and-so found it. Rashi says, Vakoshake Bimotsa Vilo Ba. He says, I saw that so-and-so had found it, but I didn't know that it was a lost item. So he didn't say that. He said, I don't know anything. So therefore, if he had told him that so-and-so found it, so then he would have gone to so-and-so, Reuven would have gone to so-and-so and say, hey, that was my cow. And the third case is lo ba v'lo b'motza, that he didn't know anything. And he swore he didn't know anything. So what it says, lo ba v'lo b'motza, kush tishtaba. So then he swore accurately. Why are we saying that that's a false swore? So what it says, no, ema ba u'b'motza, that this person really knew that where the cow was and who had found it, and he said, I don't know anything. So it means he swore falsely, Ema ba over Motza. Now, the Gemara says, what's the halacha that Ben Azai is teaching us from these cases? Lamai Hilchasa. So the Gemara says, Ravami Amar Rechanina, Ravami says in the name of Rechanina that this is Liftar, that the reason why Ben Azai is telling us this is that this witness who swore falsely doesn't have to go and bring a Chatos Ole V'yored, because this isn't considered something that is a false testimony. We'll see in a moment why not. And Shmuel Amar L'chiv. No, the Ben Azai is telling us that this is considered something that Yechayiv Echatas Olav Yorid for making a false shvua. Now, what's the svara behind this? So the svara over here between the machlokas, between the Amoraim, Ravami, Omer, Chanina, and Shmuel is exactly Ubepluk Sadani Tanoi, parallels the following Tanoik machlokas. What is this? The Tani, we learn the following Braisa. Hamashbia Eid Echad. If a person says, listen, do you know testimony for me? I want you to give the testimony that you know for me. And the witness says, I don't know any testimony for you. So then, Potter, the witness, if he doesn't bring the testimony, even though he lied, is not chayiv over here to bring a chatas ola v'yorid. And the reason why is because he says that even if you had brought your testimony, so maybe the guy would have sworn, right? A single witness can only make a shvua. So if you had brought forward your testimony, the guy might have lied and said, no, what you're saying is not true. And he would have sworn against him. So therefore, this single witness, even if he had testified, might not have changed anything around. So therefore, the Tanakhama says, you're potter for being a chatas olav yored. Whereas the laws of Rishimon says, you're mechayev to being a chatas olav yored in this situation. Now, what is the understanding of this machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar Rishimon is going to be the same exact machlokas between Rav Ami Amar Chanina and Shmuel. What is that? What are they all arguing about? The Amorayim and the Tanoim. What are they arguing about? Ma'ar Savar, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that you are Chayev. And the opinion of Shmuel, that you are Chayev, goes as follows. This is Dovar HaGoreim LeMamon, Kimamon Dame. Because this Shvua that you would have made would have possibly gotten me some money. Because now the other person would have had to have sworn, and maybe he doesn't want to make a Shvua. And in the case of Shmuel, so the animal would have gone to the right person. So therefore, this is something that would have potentially been worth something. So therefore, it's Dovar HaGoreim LeMamon, and it's considered like Kimamun Dami, and therefore you made a full Shvua, and you have to bring the Karban Chatas all over Yori. If you're making full Shvua, that costs somebody money. Whereas the opinion of the Tana Kama of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the opinion of Rav Ami, Rabbi Chanina is no. We hold Umar Sova, Lav Kimamun Dami, we don't consider it like money, and therefore it is not something for which you'd have to bring a Karban Chatas Ola V'Yorid. Where continues and tells us, Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, Hakofer bipikadon. If a person was given a pikadon, swears falsely that it wasn't in his possession. So Nasu Olov Gazlan. He has become essentially a Gazlan when he swears falsely that this doesn't belong to him. V'chayav be'onsin, and he's liable at that point, like a ganav, for anything that happens to it. Even though as a Shomer Chinam, for example, or a Shomer Socher, he might not be chayav for onsin. Now, the Tana Tuna, we learned in the Braisa, we just learned, the Kichesh Ba, it says you have to go and deny that you have this deposit in your possession. So Lamadnu Onish, so that taught us the din, that you have a Isser to go and do this. Ashar Minayim, we know that Ein Ochin Ela and Kein Masirin, that you have to have an Azara as well. So Talmud Lomer, the Pasuk tells us a second time, Lo Sichash Hashu, you're not allowed to go and falsely deny that something is in your possession. Now, isn't this talking about my lav laonish? Now, the Girsa that we have is mamon, but Rashi says the Girsa should be my lav laonish kefira, which seems to suggest that even if you don't make a shvur, you would be chayiv, and therefore this is the Tana Tuna in support of what Rav Sheshes said. Rav Sheshes said, if you just kofer b'kodon without making a shvur, nasul of gazan, then you are considered like a gazan, and you'd be chayiv in onsen, even without making a shvur. So the Gemara says, no, laonesh shvua. When it says over here, laonesh kfira, it didn't mean laonesh kfira, it meant laonesh shvua. Not like Rishatius that you would be punished even without a shvua, but you have to make a full shvua. And the Gemara says, maybe not. Keep on reading that braisa, homing toni sefer. If you keep on reading that braisa, it says, the ishtaba, some of the gears are the ishtaba, which implies only miklal de resha, the low ishtaba, implication being that the resha is not talking about a shvua, because the sefer, it says, the toni sefer, the nishba al shokir, that a person is going to be chayav if he swore falsely that he didn't have the item in his possession, and then he'll have to pay the karen back, he'll have to pay a chomesh, and he'll have to bring an osham. Now, that's the din, lamadnu onish, that's the din, you're not allowed to do this. As harmina, so where's the Ashara? So Talmud Lomer, the Pasuk says, Lo Sishakru, that you're not allowed to go and lie. Now, we mean the Sefer, the Ishtaba, Resha de Lo Ishtaba, obviously, since the Sefer is talking about that he swore, the Resha is talking about where he didn't swear. They're both in the stumble, wouldn't be talking about the same thing. And in fact, it is a riot to what Rosh Hashanah says, that you're going to be Chayiv, even if you didn't make a Shvur. Rosh says, no, that's incorrect. In fact, Amre, Edividi, Dishtaba, both the Resha and the Sefer are both talking about where he made a Shvur, not like Rosh Hashanah, because Kan Shahoda, when it's talking about in the Sefer, it's where he definitely was Moda that he in fact had sworn falsely, and therefore the Sefer is he's going to be Chayiv just for his Hodah, for the Chomesh, and for the Asham. However, in the Reisha, Kan Shabo Edim, Edim are coming along, and therefore the Edim make you Chayiv even for Onsin, also Edim Chayiv be Onsin, because it's no longer your admission, it's the fact that you have Edim, so therefore the whole book is thrown at you. So Oduya Ode Chayiv became a Chomesh v'Asham. If it was a pure Hodah, then you only have the penalty of the Chomesh and to bring an Asham. But if Edim comes, so then everything is thrown at you, and you be chayav for onsen. So, in fact, this brisa is not a riot to Rav Sheshes. And in fact, now the Gemara says, "Let's prove Rav Sheshes wrong." Well, the brisa isn't a riot to him; it didn't prove him wrong. But Masiv Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama says, "I'll show you that Rav Sheshes is wrong from this Mishnah in Shavuos." The Mishnah in Shavuos says, "Uchashenegdo choshed al shvur." If somebody is supposed to make a shvur, but they're incapable of making the shvur because they're choshed, they're suspected that they would swear falsely. So sometimes the din flips around, and the person who was supposed to make the shvur can't make it, so we flip it around and let the other side make the shvur and be able to go and collect with that shvur. Ketzad, what's an example of this? Ukishenegdo choshed al shvur, that we flip it around and let the other side make a shvur and go and collect? Ketzad. So echot shvur sa'edos. Let's say the person had made a false shua about shua's edus, or v'echa shua's apikadon, or he made a small shua about shua's apikadon, or v'afilu shua shav, or he just took a shua and it was a shua shav. So in all of these situations, the person is shown that he swears falsely. So now, what happens if he has to go make a shua? So then, we don't let him make the shua, so he would normally make a shua that he wouldn't have to pay, but here we flip it around and let the person who's arguing, his litigant, saying, you owe me money, let that person make the shua and go and collect. But if Rav Sheshes is correct, Vim Esau, if Rav Sheshes is correct, that you have to go and bring an Oshem, even if you didn't go and make a shua, so then, b'chvira hu d'yivsaleh. It's just by the fact that he was kofer that this person is no longer allowed to make an oath. Why did this Mishnah in Shavua say that he had to have sworn falsely beforehand? So this is a kasha on Rav Sheshes. So my answer is no. Amri, hachid ma'askina. You know what this Mishnah is talking about? The koi ba'agam. It's the item that was taken is in the swamp. It's not in the person's possession anymore, and he denies having received it. That's the lav kfiru. He's not saying I have it and it's not yours. The sova ishtametna le the adazilna umaisinu le. That I'm just saying right now that I don't have it, but because I'm going to eventually go and get it and bring it back to him. I just don't have it in my possession right now, so I can't give it back to him. So I'm denying that I have it. Not sure why he would do that, but that's what the person did, and therefore he's not really swearing falsely over here, and that's why the Mishnah says this case would not necessarily be included in a person that can't swear. And therefore, Rav Sheshes is not necessarily wrong. And I'll show you that this is right. Teda, the Omar Rav Yidi Bar Ovin, because Rav Yidi Bar Ovin said, Hakofer b'milveh koshel edus. If somebody has denied taking a loan from somebody else, he didn't swear, but witnesses came along and proved him wrong, and he had to pay the money. Nevertheless, he's still koshel edus. However, if it was a pikadon that he still had in his possession, and the witness came along and said, you have it in your possession, so then posuliedus, then he would in fact be posuliedus, exactly like Rav Sheshes said. If you are kichesh and you have it in your possession, and then you're proven to be lying, so then you are posuliedus. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.